chapter 13. Our text this morning is verses 18 through 21. I'm going to read the previous passage for us, which will begin at verse 10. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. This is God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Please give it your full attention. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever." You may be seated. If you will, please bow your heads with me as we ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Heavenly Father, we do pray that the Spirit of the living Word would fall fresh upon us, and that by your Word and the power of the Spirit that you would break us and mold us and fill us. Lord, we need to be dependent upon your Word in all that we do, just as we learn and have been learning in Sunday school, because it shapes and should shape our every thought so that we live our lives in accordance with your revealed will. We pray, Lord, that you will use this text and the preaching of your word to shape us and to make us into the people that serve you with all of their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. From little things, big things grow. That is the title and chorus of a song written by Australian artists Paul Kelly and Kev Carmody. And the song is about a movement of sorts that began amongst a certain group of Aborigines in Australia, known as the Gurindji people. And the Gurindji people had occupied the Northern Territory of Australia for quite some time. But in 1883, a British cattle farmer built the Wave Hill cattle station on their lands. And they had policemen kill any of the indigenous people that resisted the building of this station. Sadly, much of the Gurindji people had lost their land during this time. Well, in 1914, The Vesti brothers bought the station, and for 50 years, half of a century, they misused the Gurindji people as indigenous laborers that were rarely paid and were often beaten or killed if they defied the landowners. However, on August 23rd, 1966, the Gurindji people decided to stand up against the Vesti brothers. And their spokesman was a fellow Gurindji man named Vincent Linguari. And he and the Gurindji people began to strike, walking off of the Wave Hill station and establishing a settlement at Wadi Creek. And the song that I referred to, From Little Things, Big Things Grow, it provides a dialogue between the Vesti brothers and Vincent Linguari. Listen to what it says about the Vesti's response to the strike that Vincent and the Gurindji people made. Vesti man said, "I'll double your wages. 18 quid a week you'll have in your hand." Vincent said, we're not talking about wages. We're sitting right here till we get our land." Vesti man roared and Vesti man thundered, "You don't stand the chance of a cinder in snow." Vince said, "If we fall, others are rising." Now the song goes on to tell the story of how Vincent Linguari flew throughout all of Australia to raise the awareness of the issues faced by his people, and also to lobby politicians for recognition of indigenous rights. And the strike lasted for 8 years. And due to Linguari's efforts to spread awareness, the government at that time negotiated a deal with the Vestis to return a part of the Gurindji people's land back to them. The song states, 8 years went by, 8 long years of waiting, till one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. And he came with lawyers, and he came with great ceremony, and through Vincent's fingers poured a handful of sand. You see, on the 16th of August, 1975, that was 8 years after the strike had begun, the Prime Minister Whitlam presented the deeds of the land to Vincent Linguari and poured sand into his hands to symbolize the return of their country. Not only did the Gurindji people receive much of their lands back, but it also went on to bring about indigenous rights, Indigenous Rights Act for the people there in Australia, for the Aborigines and others. The song has many verses that tell the story of how this movement grew over time. And in between each of those verses is that chorus, "From little things, big things grow." It resounds throughout the song, "From little things, big things grow." The parables that Jesus tells in our passage this morning have the same principle in mind. The parables of the mustard seed and of the parable of the leaven both focus on the contrast between the relative smallness of God's kingdom at its beginning and its growth to massive proportions once it reaches its fullness. However, the two parables seem to have complementary but slightly different perspectives on the growth of the kingdom. The parable of the mustard seed looks primarily at the growth of the kingdom from an outward perspective, while the parable of the leaven looks at the growth of the kingdom from more of an inward perspective. And that is how we're going to look at this passage this morning. Verses 18 and 19, we will look at the external growth of the kingdom, and in verses 20 and 21, the internal growth of the kingdom. Well, Jesus tells these parables just after he healed the woman who had been bent over for 18 years. This, of course, made the ruler of the synagogue that day very angry. But even before he healed this woman, even before that passage, Jesus had just been telling the people that they are to repent lest they perish. That was his message just prior to the passage with the healing of the woman. By the time we get to the passage of the woman being healed, we see that neither the ruler of the synagogue nor any of Jesus' adversaries was repenting. The opposition that remained could have been disheartening or even misleading to the disciples. How would the kingdom grow and flourish with all of this opposition? Well, Jesus would confront those questions head on by telling them these two parables. Jesus began by saying, therefore. By this, he was making a connection between what he was just about to say and what had just happened, what had just come before this passage. Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? Most of his parables are kingdom parables. Before many of his parables, he would say things like, the kingdom of God can be compared to. The kingdom of God is like. Or as he does in this passage, to what shall I compare the kingdom? And then he would tell his parable, their kingdom parables. When Jesus preached, he preached about the kingdom of God. And the message was always that the kingdom had come, that it was in their midst. And this was good news. It was the gospel. In fact, the preaching of the kingdom of God was even used synonymously with preaching the good news in Luke 9:1-6. It says they went out and preached the kingdom and healed. And then just a few verses later, they preached the gospel, the good news, and healed. It was used synonymously. The coming of the kingdom is good news. So what did he want his disciples to know about the kingdom in these two parables? Well, he states, it is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Now, this first parable is an agricultural illustration of the kingdom. The mustard seed was the tiniest farm seed that was used in ancient Israel. It was so small that Israel even used it as proverbial when they wanted to speak about something that was small. But what was so amazing about this little seed is that after it was planted, it would grow to be one of the largest plants in the agrarian world of Israel. Jesus calls it a tree. And a tree it is, but to us it might seem more like a really large bush. It could grow to the size of 12 to 15 feet high, which is really quite large for a plant that comes from such a tiny little 1 millimeter seed. Well, it grew large enough for birds to build their nests in its branches. By looking at the little seed, the little mustard seed, you would not think that something so large would come from it. But from little things, big things grow. And so it is with the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying that the kingdom, at least the kingdom founded upon the fulfillment of Old Testament promises, that kingdom was just beginning. It was small, but it would grow to an unexpectedly enormous size. The growth of the kingdom would be like the healing that had just taken place. You see, the disciples may have been more focused on the opposition from the healing, but Jesus wanted them to see the growth of the kingdom. Sure, it was only one woman that had been healed, but it was not just the one woman at the end of the passage that glorified God, was it? Luke tells us in verse 17 that all the people rejoice at the glorious things that were done by Jesus. Sure, the kingdom was small at this time, but Jesus wanted them to know that it was growing and would one day be a very great size. J.C. Ryle comments, "A religion which seemed at first so feeble and helpless and powerful that it could not live. Its first founder was one who was poor in this world and ended his life by dying the death of a malefactor on the cross. Its first adherents were a little company whose number probably did not exceed 1,000 when the Lord Jesus left the world. Its first starting point was a despised corner of the earth called Judea. Its first doctrine was eminently calculated to call forth the enmity of the natural heart. Christ crucified was to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Its first movements brought down on its friends persecutions from all quarters. If ever there was a religion which was a little grain of seed at its beginning, that religion was the gospel." End quote. But from little things, big things grow. And now it is the largest religion in the world at approximately 2.2 billion followers. And maybe some of those followers are superficial, but even still, that is a very large number. And that's not even counting all of the followers throughout church history and the ones that are still yet to come. Bear in mind that the tree in this parable is not picturing the state of Christianity at the end of the world, but of Christianity in totality, in all times and in every place. Christianity is quite a tree, isn't it? Jesus said that the kingdom would be preached in all the world and then he would return. The kingdom's expanse would cover the entire globe. Psalm 72:8, which was from our call to worship this morning, says that the king of this kingdom will have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And this is what Jesus had in mind when he says that the birds of the air nest in the branches of the tree. Norval Geldenhuys notes that in ancient Jewish literature, the birds of the heavens referred to Gentiles. And so this tree is not a Jewish-only tree, is it? It is a tree that Gentiles would take part in as well. In other words, it is a kingdom tree that people from every nation will find shelter in it. From little things, big things grow. And that is how the church grows externally. But Jesus doesn't stop with just the external growth of the kingdom. He tells another parable, the parable of the leaven, that concentrates on the internal growth of the kingdom. He says, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." Leaven, which is basically yeast, when added to dough causes the dough to rise. The leaven spreads throughout the whole batch of dough until it permeates every part of it. In this parable, again, we see the kingdom growing. The dough rises and gets larger. But the point of this passage seems to be highlighting how the leaven works its way completely through the inside of the dough. And so the point here is not so much the external growth of the kingdom, but the internal growth. This parable is noting the transforming power of the kingdom. It is transforming the lives of those who are in it. Whenever someone submits to the authority of Christ, its ruler, the Spirit of Christ begins to influence each part of the person's life, just as the yeast would influence each part of the dough. It transforms the person's thoughts. It transforms the person's speech and the person's actions. It transforms their whole lives, their life in public and their life in private. It also transforms their relationships, how they deal with family and friends, with believers and non-believers. There is no part of life that is not touched by the Spirit's influence. Just as there is no part of the dough that is not influenced by the leaven. This transformation takes place even more rapidly and effectively when the community of believers gather together in local churches. The Spirit of God meets with us here as we gather and worship Him and builds us up through the means of grace, which is the preaching of the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. We are also transformed as each believer uses their spiritual gifts to build one another up. And so as we rub shoulders with one another, as we assemble for worship, the Spirit is active in transforming us as a community. That's why meeting together weekly is so important. It's why it is so crucial to be in church each week. It's one of the primary ways that the Spirit is transforming us and growing us in holiness. And all of this is how the kingdom grows internally. The Spirit transforms each believer, and that believer, through the work of the Spirit, has influence on other believers and even on unbelievers as well, helping the kingdom to grow both externally and internally until the day of Christ's return, when it will have reached its kingdom fullness. When we are first saved, our holiness is rather minuscule, but from little things, big things grow. The basis for the growth of the kingdom is the power of the king. The king who was himself the seed that fell into the earth and died, but coming up out of the earth, rising again, he is building his kingdom. Maximus of Turin wrote, "Born of a man, he was humbled like a seed, and in ascending to heaven was exalted like a tree." It is clear that Christ is a seed when he suffers and a tree when he rises. End quote. Jesus spoke of his own death this way, and really even the death of all believers in Christ, in John chapter 12, verse 24, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You see, and when we proclaim that good news, the death and resurrection of Christ, when the kingdom of God is preached, the good news is preached, then sinners are saved from their sins by grace through faith, and the kingdom grows. These parables most assuredly have the promise to Abraham in view. Abraham's offspring was to be as numerous as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the seashore. And he was to be the father of many nations, because in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Has his offspring not become a grand tree that houses not only Jews, but also birds, Gentiles from every nation? Is this not what we see in the birds making nest in the tree? Gentiles, people from every nation, finding refuge in this kingdom tree by grace through faith. And so you see again, it's this kingdom tree doesn't just begin in the New Testament. It is an Old and New Testament kingdom tree. And what an amazing story of growth. From little things, big things grow. And you are a part of that story if you are united to Christ by Spirit-wrought faith. And these parables teach us not to be discouraged when at times our ministries seem small and insignificant, or if our church seems small and insignificant. That is how the kingdom grows, from small and insignificant beginnings. Philip Graham Ryken says that we need to remember this also when it comes to our own spiritual progress. Even when we are just starting out in the Christian life, if we have the true seed of faith in Jesus Christ, if we know Jesus for sure, then his gospel work will grow until it fills our entire lives. I'm sure of this, the scripture says, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. You know, the kingdom has and is spreading throughout the world. But perhaps like the disciples that day, seeing all of the opposition, we too can easily become discouraged as we begin to survey the current state of things. The churches in our own country have for some time been wavering on key fundamental doctrines. Throughout the world, Islam is growing more and more, and in many places is very hostile towards Christianity, persecuting it, along with many other religions and ideologies. The church is decreasing in many parts of the world. I think of Europe, who at once was very flourishing. Christianity was flourishing in those countries, but is somewhat absent today. The growth of Christianity is significant in other parts of the world, like Africa and China, but much of it is a very shallow Christianity. See, it can be discouraging when looked at from this viewpoint, but these parables keep things into perspective for us, don't they? They give us an optimistic outlook. But this optimistic outlook should not cause us to underestimate our opposition. Satan and his regime is very powerful. Their opposition towards Christ while he walked the earth was very great. We saw it in the very last passage. His adversaries opposing him. And his opposition grew and grew, and it led him all the way to the cross where he was put to death. But But what did that accomplish? In God's plan, it only brought about their defeat as Jesus accomplished the forgiveness of sins for his people, rose again from the grave, and is building his kingdom tree, of which the gates of hell cannot prevail. What a mighty and exalted king, and what a great kingdom. At the end of Paul Kelly's song, From Little Things, Big Things Grow, the lyrics read, "That was the story of Vincent Linguari, but this is the story of something much more. How power and privilege cannot move a people who know where they stand and stand in the law." This song is a story of much more, because at its root it is a story about how wicked oppression and evil will not ultimately win against the people who know where they stand and stand in the law, even if those people are few. From little things, big things grow. And this principle is only true because it is a gospel principle. You see, sometimes even non-believers take advantage of gospel principles like this to benefit themselves, as the Gurindji people did in Australia. You see, whether they meant to or not, they were imitating truths of the gospel, because these two parables are telling us that from little, seemingly insignificant thing, the massive kingdom of God grows. And it does so because it had a leader who knew where to stand and stood perfectly in the law of God. And his small, seemingly insignificant followers, by grace, take up the same stance as they preach the good news of the kingdom. And as they do so, the seed is planted in hearts throughout the world. And from a little thing, the great kingdom of God grows. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that seed that fell into the earth, Jesus Christ, who gave his life and died, but rose again and is bearing fruit all throughout the world and is advancing throughout the world. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to build your kingdom tree, and that you might use us to sow the seed that gets planted into individual hearts and begins to grow in those whom you call to yourself. And Lord, we pray that you will make us to be faithful in this effort, that you will not cause us to turn from the left or to the right, but to always faithfully proclaim the truths of your word and of your gospel. Lord, we pray that we might, as your kingdom leaven, that you might use the Spirit in each one of us to help grow the kingdom internally as well, that we might be growing in holiness in our own lives, but even those who seem to have gone off the path, that our influence by your Spirit and word might be profitable in bringing them back. And for those who are lost, Lord, who are yours throughout this world and have not yet heard the kingdom, we pray that we might preach the good news and show them their only way of salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful kingdom. We thank you most of all for the King himself. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.